part of this psalm, I hope it'll be an encouragement to you as much as it is to me. David says this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we just want to thank you for Psalm 16. Thank you, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives as we begin a new year, 2024. Father, I pray that we would have the right goals in our lives, that we will not forget our spiritual goals, that we will keep this goal that we're going to look at tonight to put you first, to set you before us at all times. Father, we know if that's the proper order in our life, then all things will fall in place. So, Lord, help us tonight be glorified through your word. And, Father, just speak to us through the Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, verse number 8, we're on goal number 5. I will put the Lord first in my life. This is what David is saying. Up to this point, he's been talking about the goodness of God and the blessings of God, how God has worked in his life. And now, David is making a decision. I want you to look back in your life. What has God done for you? How good has the Lord been to you? You should be able to make the right decision in your life. This decision. And it means he's going to put the Lord first in his life. When you set the Lord before you. That's what he's saying. I have set the Lord always before me. And so when you set the Lord before you, you're proclaiming that he is your God. That he is the one controlling your life. In fact, it means to give him first place and to give him the preeminence in all that you do. So when you're putting the Lord before you, in fact, what does it say over there in the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt worship no other gods before me. That's what God says. So if you're putting things above him or over him, before him in your life, That's idolatry. That's idolatry. So, how does this fit into your daily life? Amen. We know it's important to make practical application. So, what does this look like when you get up in the morning? Do you put God first in your life every day? You know, first is a time word. Like, what do you do first when you get up? Well, I realize there's many things you may have to do, right? But make sure that the priority of your morning, before you do other things, before you go out and go on with your day, you spend time with the Lord. That's putting him before you. That's putting him first. So, we have to do that every morning. Our worship time, our prayer time. Also, and really, you can't just say, all right, I did that, so I can just go do what I want the rest of the day. What does he say? There's an important word here. I have set the Lord always before me. Not just first thing in the morning, but Let's continue the whole day putting the Lord first. What about the decisions that you make? How many decisions in the day that you need the Lord's help? How many problems that you face in one day? You need to ask the Lord, amen? You need to find out what God wants. What are you doing at your work? The quality of your work. The relationships you have with other people. Your witness, amen? We need the Lord constantly to help us in our witness. People who need salvation. Obviously, if we're not putting the Lord first, we're going to be so busy or so distracted with so many other things, we're going to forget about being a witness for Christ. So I think it's very practical. I have set the Lord always before me. But then he says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. So, do you recognize that the Lord is at your right hand? David saying, hey, with the Lord at my right hand, nothing or no one is able to move me. No one is able to get me off track. You see, right hand, when you think of the right hand in the Bible, there's so many verses we could look at. I got a list there. We're not going to go through them all. But being at the right hand, it's a place of exaltation when you're at the right hand of God. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, right? So being at the right hand is a place of honor, a place of exaltation. It's a place of authority, but also it's a place of support. It's a place of protection and provision. It's a place of security and defense. And not only that, guidance and direction. The Lord is at my right hand. You see, when you put him first, he will provide all these other things in your life. He will do everything that he has promised in all these verses that we have here. So, when you have the Lord at your right hand, it's also a place of authority. That means we're going to honor him. And we're going to put him first. And when he's at your right hand, what's the confidence you can have? If you set the Lord always before you, and if the Lord's at your right hand, he says, I shall not be moved. Amen? Is there anything that's going to happen to you in a day that God cannot handle if he's first and if he's at your right hand? And then God's going to give you the grace to handle everything too if he's right there with you. So how important and how practical goal number five is. And then last but not least, goal number six. And this is where I think the Lord, I hope he's helping you understand that we have to have the right focus in our lives. It'd be so easy to focus on the news, the doom and gloom, and there's plenty of it out there. And I'm not saying don't listen to the news, don't watch the news, but if you do, keep everything in the proper perspective. And if we can't keep it in the proper perspective, then it'd be better to turn it off. Amen. You don't want that controlling your thoughts and controlling your emotions and your feelings throughout the day. Because here's what you want controlling you. What does he say? He says, verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Listen, if God is first, amen, if God's at our right hand, don't we have reason to rejoice? But what is he rejoicing in? Number six, I will rejoice in the great hope that God has given. Do you know there's a great hope here? And that's the hope by which we should live in our life every day. Now, David, as he began thinking of what God promised him, His heart was overflowing with joy. And brethren, that's where we need to live. If you are constantly understanding what God is going to do for you, if you're saved, amen, what the Lord has in store for you, shouldn't that help you to be glad? Amen. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. And glory is that heavy, weighty, you know, and the idea is it's describing the magnitude of his rejoicing. So David is not just talking about his present time, present tense of his life, but now he's beginning to think of the future from beyond death, amen, and beyond the earth to heaven. And God, as he looks back in his life, and I think all of us can testify if you've been on this earth long enough, you can look back on your life and see the faithfulness of God. What has God done your whole life for you? Even before you were saved, God allowed you to continue living. God gave you health enough to hear the gospel and be saved. So even God, before your salvation, was merciful to you. Amen. And so, brethren, as we look back on our life, now we look at what God's doing today. Amen. You should have some things that God's doing in your life, and you can rejoice. But now let's look at the future. And this is a wonderful passage because verses 10 and 11 are prophetic, as you know. David was speaking of his own life and his own experience. But at the same time, when you go to the New Testament, like in the book of Acts, you're going to hear these verses applied to Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. Amen. And so this is a wonderful portion of Scripture. It says in verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand," amen, "there are pleasures forevermore." So, brethren, we know that when Jesus came, the Bible gives us a promise. Because he lives, we will live also. Amen. And that is a cause. When you think of this resurrection, the promise of the resurrection of Christ, this prophetic promise here of the resurrection of Christ, and then our own resurrection, that should give us double rejoicing. That's what David was doing. He was so glad. He was doubly rejoicing. Amen. His own resurrection and Christ's resurrection. So letter A, I will rejoice in the conquest of death. Isn't that a cause for rejoicing? "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And David is speaking about what's going to happen after death. You see, was not David secure in life? Didn't he have that faith for what God was going to do in life? Amen. So, because he was secure in life, he had that same security in death. That's where we need to have that security. Not just in life, but also in death. When he looked to the future, it was a time that he could rejoice because his flesh and his body would rest in the grave. Amen. But he says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in
hell. And we know that hell is the word Sheol, and at times it does refer to the fiery judgment, but it also refers to the place of the dead, the realm of the dead. And so David is very clear here. Death and corruption is not his final destination. Amen? And that's not our destination either. So this is what we need to focus on. I know, you know, many are battling with sickness, disease, and we could say, generally speaking, corruption, right? Our bodies are physically corrupt. But that's not where we need to focus. We need to see what David saw. We need to believe in the revelation of God that there is rejoicing after death. Amen. There is life after death. There is hope after death. Now, Peter and Paul both preached from these verses in Acts 2 and Acts 13. Now, David died, right? His body still lies in the grave until the resurrection. But Christ was raised incorruptible. In fact, he didn't have time for his body to corrupt. Amen. 3 days and three nights, he rose. Also, letter B, I will rejoice in the fact that God has shown me the path to walk in order to experience the fullness of life. That's what verse 11 says. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Brethren, that path of life begins right now. The path of life that God has shown us begins when we receive Christ. Amen. When we receive eternal life. When we really receive abundant life, spiritual life in Jesus Christ. Think about what we're learning in the book of Proverbs. We have the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness. We know that Jesus he preached about the two roads. One is a path that leads to destruction. One is a narrow way, a path that leads to life everlasting. And so we are on that path if we know Christ. And we're on the path of life, and we begin a new life through Christ. But it says here, we have the presence of God. Amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Brethren, we know that once we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and we experience the very presence of God in our life. That is the path of life. Amen. And this life that Jesus tells us is what he says in John 10:10, that he gave us life and life more abundantly. So it's not just life. It's not just existence. Amen. We are to have a life that is satisfying. A life that is joyful. We are to have joy and satisfaction of what? Living in thy presence. Brethren, isn't that what fellowship is in the morning? In the presence of God. Praying throughout the day, you're in the presence of God. The more you yield to the Spirit, the more he fills you. Amen. That's the presence of God. And the more we are yielding, the more we are experiencing that, the more we have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And then letter C, last but not least of all, I will rejoice in the joy of eternal life. See, a path of life begins on earth. It does not end on earth. Amen. It does not end at death's door. Aren't you thankful for that? Life This life that Jesus gives us triumphs over death. It marches on into the very presence of God, meaning in the very face of God, the very presence of God. You're going to see Him in heaven. And David is speaking of this face-to-face encounter with God. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us we will see God's face. We won't go over there. Revelation 22, it's down on your paper. You will see God. Amen? And when we bask in the light of His countenance, we will know the fullness of joy. The level of bliss that we have never before experienced. We will know it in that day. You see, the pleasures of heaven will be far beyond any pleasures we have known here on earth. You know, sometimes you think about that. Man, the happiest moment you had, the moment, you know, God filled your soul with joy or salvation, or you know those moments, that has nothing in comparison. That is nothing in comparison to what you will experience in the very presence of God. Because, you know, then we're not going to be restricted by time. We're not going to be restricted by physical weakness. We're not even going to be restricted by the consequences of sin in our life. Amen? And so magnificent are the glories of heaven that the Apostle John had to ransack human language to find words to describe it. Just try to read Revelation 21 and 22 and fill your mind with what John is trying to describe as the new heavens and new earth, amen, and the presence of God. So walking with the Lord on earth is comforting and wonderful, but it does make us long for something more. Does it not? Our eternal home. The city of God, where we will be eternally satisfied when we behold God's face. Chapter 7, or Psalm 17, the next one, the last verse. I'm not going to begin that, but look what it says. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Wow, there's a lot in that verse. Amen. Certainly understanding about the future and what we're going to have in the Lord. So Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of this verse when He ascended into heaven and took place at the right hand of the Father. You can read about that in Acts 2:33. But brethren, Ephesians also tells us that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ, and we're going to occupy that place throughout eternity. That's the grace that brings salvation. Amen. And this is an amazing truth. This is a comforting truth. While we live on earth, the Lord is at our right hand, and throughout eternity in heaven, we will be at His right hand. Amen. So, what a glorious prospect awaits us as saints of God. Although Old Testament believers did not possess the full revelation we have through God's completed word. Think about what you can do by taking the fulfillment of all these passages in the New Testament. Amen. You can see what Peter and Paul, how they preach, how they saw Christ's fulfillment, how the Spirit of God revealed all the truth in the New Testament. They weren't able to do that, but they were convinced of one thing. They were convinced of the resurrection. Remember what we said about Job? He knew that he was going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Amen. And that he, with his own eyes, was going to see Him. Amen. There's so many other. How about Daniel? So, brethren, we are privileged to know the details of how the dead will be raised, how and when the dead will be raised. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the rapture, talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to be with the Lord, to meet Him in the clouds, to meet Him in the air, amen. So we get to read the full revelation of what God's going to do, and that's called what? Our blessed hope. And really, the blessed hope is to be the hope that what we're reading about here, to anchor our soul in the difficult storms of life. We are to have a living hope, brethren, a living hope, produced by the truth of God's Word, produced by the Spirit of God, applying it to our hearts and our situation, whatever we're going through. And we, like David, can have this confidence, the same confidence that he always had and will present throughout the Psalms, that God will preserve us through life and death. And God will give us our full inheritance reserved in heaven for us. David knew that, and we ought to know it. And this is what we are to focus on in our thoughts, in the difficult times of life. These are the truths that we ought to meditate on. And it ought to cause us to have rejoicing, to be glad. Even though we're going through so many difficult things, we can still have the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what's going to help you through it all. Amen? So what a wonderful psalm. Are you going to live it? Number one, you're going to fellowship with the Lord. Number two, you're going to choose the godly, the saints, to be your closest friends. Amen? That's who you're going to fellowship with. I got everything out of order here. Doesn't even look like I have all the papers. I don't. That's all right. Yeah, I do. So, number two. Here we go. Number three. I will praise the Lord for His blessings. Let's take time to understand all that He has given us now in this life. Amen. The Lord is the portion, my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. Brethren, there's so much that the Lord has given us. I will listen to the Lord's instructions. You know, are you going to pay attention to God's word as you read it? Are you going to pray and let the Lord instruct you? Are you going to listen to the preaching and take it as the word of God, not just the word of man? And then, are you going to let God take you to night school? Amen. Are you going to learn some things in the night seasons? And then, what we learned tonight, put the Lord first in our life. The Lord will always be at our right hand. And then, we must rejoice in the great hope of salvation that God has given us. If we truly live these verses by the end of this year, we will have great victory. We will grow spiritually. And our lives will be more fulfilled if we truly walk through this psalm and live it throughout 2024. God will fill us. Amen. He's going to fill us with His presence and fullness of joy. And that's the real pleasure of life, is our fellowship with the Lord. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.